80s, the Pope got shot. In fact, there were four bullets. And from his hospital bed, he announced that he had forgiven the gunman. Had the gunman begged for forgiveness? No. Had he confessed his guilt? No. But the Pope, apparently, could forgive him regardless of what attitude the man had. And it's interesting, on what basis could the Pope forgive then? Because in the early 1990s, when I became a Christian in the late 80s, and I was preaching in a place down in West Wales, and a Catholic lady came up to me to say that she'd gone to the Pentecostal church a few weeks earlier and been saved. And then she said, I went there then for a few weeks, and then I bumped into Father Seamus in the street. And Father Seamus said to me, not seen you for a while, Kathleen. No, she said, I've been saved in the Pentecostal church. And he said, first of all, well, that's a sin. He said, that's a sin, and confession on Friday. And I thought, it's interesting, isn't it? The Pope apparently felt he could forgive this guy without any confession, without any repentance. But the priest felt, I know he felt that going to a Pentecostal church was a sin, but he, if it was a sin, whatever the sin was, he felt that there was no possibility of te absolvo, I absolve, I forgive, without confession. And of the two of them, which one is nearer to what Jesus is teaching? Because Jesus teaches here, we have the inevitable situation we saw last week, sin is in the world. Sooner or later, if sin is in the world, then sooner or later, sin is going to come through you to somebody else. And this, these few verses are about, if a brother, that I assume means either somebody related to us, or somebody who is a believer, a fellow believer. In the 19th century, somebody, I've forgotten his name, coined the phrase, the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. So that God is the father of everybody, and we're all brothers and sisters. Well, it's not true. According to the Bible, God is the creator of everybody. He's only the father of those who believe. And so he talks about a brother or sister. Sooner or later, then somebody you care about will sin against you, or they'll sin against somebody you care about. What are we supposed to do then? Well, the text is clear. And as it was being read just now, I was thinking, I wonder how many people sitting here actually do this. If a brother sins, what are you to do? Point it out to him. That's what you're supposed to do. Tell him. Rebuke him. Point it out. Why? Because if, and there's my title, the big if, because if, having been pointed out to him, if he repents, he can be forgiven. That's why. It's a magnificent thing to be forgiven. He, and the next verse really just shows how amazing forgiveness is. He can be forgiven even if he's done it before. Even if he's done it loads of times before. If he repents, he can be forgiven. Last week, Henry put up the Lord's Prayer, which talks about what Jesus teaches us. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. In other words, you are to forgive people in the same way God forgives you. And if you are forgiven, the slate is clean. The slate is clean. You know, I went with a visit in the prison some years ago with a guy who had a criminal record, was with me. It was years earlier, but because it was on, came up on the computer, he wasn't allowed in. What he would have given for the slate to be clean. But you can be clean before God. I remember reading when I was a very young Christian, some top psychiatrist who had run a huge psychiatric hospital for years saying, I reckon most of my clients, most of my patients could go home today if they could be assured that they are actually forgiven. I thought, what a years ago, just talking from a kind of medical point of view. George Michael died recently. My favorite George Michael song, he sings, I'm never going to dance again. Why not, George? Because guilty feet have got no rhythm. In other words, when you're guilty, it affects you. Guilt is a problem. It's a real problem. When I first started teaching in 1973, I met a guy. He was having an affair and had been for a long time. But one day he had a bad stomach. The following day he was worse, in sheer panic that God was judging him. Now, I wasn't a Christian at the time. I just didn't understand his thinking at all. But he was just terrified that God was actually judging him, and God was going to kill him. So he stopped the affair. His wife knew nothing of anything to do with this. But it was sheer panic that God would judge him. Now, God will judge mind. But of course, what that man did was just to stop the affair, as if, well, that'll get God off my back. See, we've all got a conscience. God has put it there. It's God's friend. And he's given us a conscience so that we would feel bad when we're guilty and confess it. And then be free. Be clean. But of course, practice makes perfect even in bad things. We can learn to convince ourselves that we're not too bad. We can learn to look somebody in the eye and lie, can't we? We can do it. We can smother our conscience. Somebody told me about Judge Judy, the program. I've never seen it. But apparently, she's a no-nonsense lady. And apparently, if somebody in there, when they're talking, if there's one lie there, if she feels they've tried to lie to her, she's not interested in apparently anything they've got to say. Because she thinks, well, if they lied about that, they could easily have lied about everything else. Now, in the world, we have a saying, don't we, bury the hatchet and mark the spot. In other words, we say to somebody, oh, don't mention it, don't worry about it. But actually, we've made a note of it. And if there's ever an opportunity in the future that we need that bit of information, we will dredge it up against them. But the Bible doesn't teach that that's forgiveness at all. In the Bible, the Lord says to people who are forgiven, I will remember your sins no more. He chooses not to dredge up our sins. And that's what we are to do if we forgive people. As far as the east is from the west, Psalm 103. Jeremiah 31, I will remember their sins no more. That's why it's a precious thing to be forgiven. That God has forgiven us all of our sins. You know, Jackie once said to me, I'm so angry with Jim, but I'll have to try and forgive him, I suppose, because it's eating away at me. Well, she's confused about a lot of things, Jackie, then, there. We're not to bear a grudge, but we cannot forgive unless somebody repents. But if they do repent, we must forgive. It's very simple. It's awful clear, this. You'd never guess how clear it is when you look at church life, would you? But this is very clear. This is what Jesus says. You must, definitely mustn't bear a grudge. They must repent. But if they repent, you must forgive. You must. And Jackie, you know, oh, I better forgive Jim because, he's eating me up. In other words, it's totally self-centered. Jackie's thinking about herself. And she's conning herself that she's actually forgiving Jim when she's not at all. I don't know what happened there. I never forgotten years ago, I was parked in a main street and a security guard van was there. And the guy was carrying bags of money out of the bank. He had his helmet under his arm. He was carrying the bags. And now, here's a guy presuming nothing bad's going to happen today. Here's a guy assuming everything's going to be all right. And there are thousands of people like him in churches. Nothing bad will happen to me. God won't judge me. It'll all be all right. Everything will be fine. It'll be okay. But our God is a consuming fire, and we'll stand before him. The guy stopping the affair was right to be scared. But it's not enough just to stop it. We must repent. We must confess. And we must confess now. I read in Ecclesiastes just a few weeks ago, because no one knows the hour. We don't know. We don't know when our last hour is. Perfectly healthy people drop dead every day. The Almighty God doesn't give us the heads up. He doesn't give us a 5-minute warning or a 5-day warning. Gandhi was shot. Diana in a car crash. I think it was the mistress of Henry IV, choked, eating an orange. People die in many ways, but we're all going to die. We all will be judged. We'll all stand before God. See, you're an amazing person. You are built by God, created by God, created by the God who can forgive you all your sins. You know, a guy said to me years ago, oh, I wish I could be forgiven. But it's not wishing. You can be forgiven. It's not Peter Pan stuff. It's not wishing. You know, people ring me. I got rid of my landline because so many used to ring me, but they still ring me on my mobile. I don't know if they ring you. Mr. Rees, they say, you know, this is obviously bad news. Mr. Rees, have you been sold PPI, Mr. Rees? Well, I haven't. I'm glad to say I haven't. But why are they interested? Well, they can make money. But what's the root of it? Because if I have been missold, they're guilty. And they need to pay. That's it. So even they have got the concept of guilt. That's why there are probably a dozen occasions in the Gospels where Jesus looks forward to the cross. He looks forward to Calvary. Oh, he's not thrilled, but he's looking forward to it. Because this is why he's come. Because we are guilty, and only he can do something about it. Only he can take away the pain of guilt. Only he can forgive us. And he does it by soaking up the fury of his Father that would have come my way. The same fury that would have sent me to hell forever. Are you forgiven? It's a tremendous thing to be forgiven, man. Sally and Jack went to stay with their gran for the summer holidays for 5 weeks because Mam was working. First day, they're playing in the garden and Sally throws a ball much too hard and terrible direction, smashes one of the windows in Gran's greenhouse. Quick as a flash, Jack says, "Sally, I won't tell Gran." Following morning, after breakfast, Jack says to Sally, "Will you come and play Nerf guns with me?" Sally says, "Oh, yeah, I will after, but I'm just playing with my dolly and pram in the moment. I'll tell Gran." So it goes on for 5 days. In the end, Sally can't cope. It's only the first week. She's got another 4 weeks of this. She can't cope. She goes to Gran and she says, Gran, I smashed the window. I'm awful sorry. I didn't tell you. Please forgive me." And Granny says, "Oh, I'm so glad you've come, Sal, because I saw you do it. I saw you do it, and I was hoping that you'd come because I thought otherwise Jack is just going to blackmail this girl the rest of her life." And that's it, isn't it? But now, the next day, when Jack says, "Will you come and play football with me?" Sally says, "Well, no, thanks." "You got to tell Gran." She's, "I'm free." "Tell her. Do what you like. I'm free." Are you free? Is there a list of crimes that God has against you? Or is it a blank sheet? Is it a blank sheet? Imagine that. Some of us, we don't have to imagine. This is our situation. All our sins. But it's not true of all of us, is it? I think it was last year or the year before, a lady, young lady, in hospital, terminally ill with cancer, discharged herself so that she could take her boy to school the first day. Do you remember? He was starting school. He was 4. And she wanted to take him the first day. She took him, and the following day, she passed away. Now, there's love, isn't it? There's love. Tremendous. But on the cross, now we're looking at real love. More amazing still, that Jesus is hanging there because you can be forgiven. It's a big if you repent. It's a big if. Don't waste the opportunity today. Amen.